Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. My name is Robert Morrison. I'm a contributor at ninernoise.com, and here with me to, I don't know, cry, yell a lot. I'm not exactly sure what the plan of action here is for sure, but something's going to happen, and it might not be pretty, but whatever it is we're going to do, I have here with me fellow contributor at Niner Noise, Chris Wilson. Chris, how you doing, man?
I could be better. I'm very upset about Amazon Prime Day. I missed out on all of the Lightning deals.
Oh, man.
And yeah, no, I have some stuff I needed to buy too. And now I have none. So I'm quite upset.
I will tell you, I bought a lot more things than I expected to.
Really?
You know, during the day, I have time to kind of go off and do things in between classes that I'm teaching.
Is your boss listening to this podcast?
No, I'm at home.
Who is your boss? I have a link I want to send to him.
I'm at home, and so, you know, I teach my classes, and then I just, you know, have other things that I'm doing, and I'll, you know, scoot on over to Amazon and end up buying a lot of things that I don't really need, but that's beside the point.
That's what we're talking about today, I thought.
I think so. No, unfortunately not. This is not the Amazon Prime podcast, although that sounds like a fun podcast, and I would probably listen to that.
Fansided does have an Amazon site, so we already got them their first listener.
They did live stream, some sort of live stream during the entire...
Oh, Amazon did.
The entirety of Amazon Prime Day. I don't know what it was, because I never clicked on it, because I was like, what is this, like, the Amazon Prime Shopping Network or something? I have no idea.
It's like me on a webcam just screaming for missing out on Lightning deals.
That's probably it.
I just decided 2021, I'm doing it.
We are here because there was a football game in Santa Clara.
You sure? I must have missed it.
Supposedly. And the 49ers lost that football game in Santa Clara to the Miami Dolphins,
who that doesn't make any sense.
Are not a, you know, particularly good football team in all the
ways that a football team is, you know, good.
Major metrics and ways one would think about it. You know, after a while, I stopped paying attention to the score. I know that there were many points scored by the Dolphins and not nearly as many points scored by the 49ers. I know that Jimmy Garoppolo played the first half, and then, you know, C.J. Beathard in his long flowing locks returned to the field to play more football. He's now played more football in the last 2 weeks than he had in the last year and a half leading up to that. So crazy times. But I will say it was not an enjoyable experience. It was probably the hardest 49ers game to watch in a long time, for different reasons than other games that we've watched recently that were horrible in and of themselves. This one was just horrible for reasons that I did not enjoy in any way, shape, or form.
Did you cry? That's the question.
No, but not actual tears. Like, inside my heart, I think tears were definitely coming. Yeah. Man, it's... Just,
there ain't no words. There ain't no words.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to say to sort of lead into this whole thing. So with that in mind, let's just, you know, let's get into sort of injury news, because we have to do it, because
it's the law.
As we've said time and time again, we have to begin this podcast by talking about injury news. This is actually probably the shortest section of this that we've done all season. Not very many new injuries to talk about, and really some hopeful, possibly good news, kind of, you know.
I believe it when I see it.
Hopeful, sad, maybe kind of voice. I don't know. Maybe
canceling the season.
So the one really sort of major, like, new
turnover.
No, not that I'm aware.
We're pressing a reset on the console.
The one, yes, that's what we're gonna do. The one major new injury that has been added to the list is Quan Alexander has a high ankle sprain. There is some speculation about what is going to happen with that. I still think at this point we're recording late Wednesday night.
Thursday morning.
We'll just say early. yeah, or is it Thursday morning? Hard to say. I still don't think they know exactly what the degree of sprain that he's dealing with yet. And so far, as we know, as of this point, they have not decided whether or not they're going to put him on IR for a longer term type of situation, or whether or not they're going to let him sit for a couple of weeks and just kind of see how it plays out. It's hard to say. Obviously, with the IR being a 3-week thing, it may make sense to do that, but I don't think that decision has been made yet, so far as I'm aware. Richard Sherman continues to have setbacks with that calf injury, that like he did last week, looking pretty unlikely that he'll be ready to go for Sunday. Still has not been taken off the IR, so the practice window hasn't even been open yet. I gotta think, even once his practice window opens, depending on how he feels, it could be one of those things where they open up the practice window, add him back to the roster, and even then he might be out for whatever week that leads up to, just because he hasn't played football in however many weeks will have been by that point. It's going to be a while.
If I had to guess, I would say week 8 against the Seahawks or week 12 after the bye week. Those are my two guesses.
Yeah, that does seem like likely things.
Or week 17 when we play the Seahawks again, when it doesn't matter.
The problem being with the week 8 game is that it's in Seattle, so it could be that could put a little bit of a damper on that, but we'll see how that goes. Emmanuel Mosley was at practice in limited capacity, so that's good. And Jimmy Garoppolo was a full participant in practice, so that's also good. Weird game for him in a lot of ways. So both may be playing this weekend? Question mark again? I don't know.
I think so.
Mosley has missed the last 2 weeks, of course, and Jimmy missed the second half of last week's game because of some combination of poor play and the injury. Who's to say? Otherwise, the team is about as healthy as been in a while, you know, barring the 13 players that they have on IR right now. That's not great, but there we go. The team also signed cornerback Farnell Motley, I think that's his name. He's an undrafted rookie who was on the Bucks practice squad up until recently. This has to do with a lot of things, some of which we'll get into later. But there are, you know, question marks about who will...
Just what you're starting, bro.
Yeah. Question marks about who will be ready for Sunday opposite a suddenly very healthy Jason Verrett. And in place of a still on IR, Quan Williams and Richard Sherman. So ideally, it's Mosley, it's Verrett, it's Akella Witherspoon's third option. And I don't know, maybe you try to figure out if you can run Mosley, all three of those guys out there, and not have to bring Jamar Taylor back. That would just be ideal. I don't know. So all this news, you know, it's not as bad as it has been, but... this plus the Dolphins smashing, you know, doesn't make me feel super great. Chris, I have one question. Is this team done for the year?
My answer is, what are you talking about? We're in the playoff hunt. Game out of the wild card. Thank you for allowing all the teams in the playoffs this year, NFL. And the other thing is, we get to play all of the best teams because we haven't played them yet. So our 2020 playoff destiny is in our hands.
That's true.
Once we figure out like how to coach and play football.
These are all true things that you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. It's by and large understood that the 49ers have the hardest schedule from here until the end of the season. So, cool.
Hey, it's just more opportunity for us to knock off those good teams, right?
I guess so. We started off with some of the easier games here at the beginning and finished 2-3. And now we have, you know, 11 more games that are some of the hardest stretch in football. So cool.
Who doesn't like a challenge, right?
I guess so. Let's make it as hard as humanly.
Is it too late for me to cancel my DirecTV subscription?
Probably not. I don't know. We've definitely already lost as many regular season games as we did last year, so that's not good.
We're just getting ready to peak.
I guess. Let's hope so, because that was depressing. So let's move on to talk about it just for a little bit longer, and then we can just be done. Actually, this whole thing might just be depressing. I don't know.
You're not selling this very well.
So on we go to one up, one down for this week.
We got some ups, right?
Yeah, I'm sure we do.
It was hard to find any players who played well, but there were some.
it was particularly a hard week for Nup. But Chris, I'm going to let you start because that's the kind of upstanding guy that I am.
Well, that was a softball. So you're lucky that this is a G-rated podcast. So, Up. How about Raheem Mostert? Because he's good, even though this agent isn't.
Yeah.
The difference is obvious when he's in there because he doesn't necessarily need good blocking to break one. And that's perfect because he plays on a team that doesn't have any good blockers.
We don't have any of that.
Not even all pro Trent Williams. He can't block anymore.
Yikes.
So he had 90 yards on 11 rushing attempts, not Trent Williams. Trent Williams just let guys just run by him. But Mostert had 90 yards on 11 rushing attempts. Sort of like to see a higher number there.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we did not. And then another 29 yards on 3 receptions on 3 targets, I believe, if my brain is doing me good. So that's not too bad.
Nope, not at all.
Yeah, like I said, he's the perfect back for this offense and for this absolutely horrible, horrendous offensive line. And speaking of that, I'm still waiting to see or hear about or just have any information as to the whereabouts of John Benton. So have you heard anything about him? I was the line coach for the 49ers. Where is he?
I have not. No.
Okay. We were discussing before the podcast because you weren't familiar with the concept of a silver alert.
I've never heard of this thing before now. I think you made it up.
In DC, it's a thing because apparently there are a lot of old people who are just driving away, like in circles around the beltway. So, yeah, we have silver alerts like more often than we have amber alerts. Like, no one like stealing kids, like steal grandma.
Well, that's amazing.
So, I'm not sure how old John Benton is, but he looks like he could qualify. And I don't know what the qualification specifications are. And if there is anyone out there who knows, please let me know. Because it's very important to me for some reason.
Tweet at Chris.
At me, please. At me, Maryland Department of Transportation or Virginia or whomever. Yeah. So
at anyone who knows.
So because I would like to submit something, probably not here, although who knows where he is, because he's sure not at the practice facility teaching anyone how to do anything. Like I said last week, I didn't even know who he was. And I still don't. But I know he's not doing his job because their line sucks. So if anyone did steal him, please return him or at least contact 49ers headquarters so that they know that he's gone. Because it appears they're not aware of that fact. And then we can find somebody to do the job that he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, it's not. It's really, really incredible if you think about it. Because technically, they're returning 3 starters from last year on the group that's out there right now. 4, actually, if you include Brunskill, who was a de facto starter in a lot of cases and started several games. So 4 out of these 5 guys were with the team. 3 out of them, out of the 5 of them, were in the position that they're currently in. And the other one is an all-pro who looked like he was 100% back to form through the first like 2.5 weeks of the season. There's just seems to be a lack of understanding about what the others are doing. And I don't know how much of that is, again, as you're noting on coaching, or if, Ben Garland's not doing enough as the sort of communicator of the line or something like that.
When he started off playing center last year, he was incapable of setting protection. And I guess that doesn't play into his glorious passing grades by a certain company. But if you remember the first game that Garoppolo returned to action in the preseason, one play against the Broncos where he and Garoppolo were like fighting over who the Mike linebacker was. And we went back and forth and back and forth. And eventually Garland won because he was the last person to do it before the snaps. And he was wrong. And combined with some horrible blocking on the right side of the line, it was one of the main reasons why he was pressured so much and why his numbers looked so bad in his first game back. And that's something that you're not going to learn unless you're coached. That's a skill that's taught. You just don't pick that up.
There was a moment on one of the early sacks, I think it was the first one of Garoppolo early in the game, where, you know, the defender beat Trent Williams, but Williams kind of turned around and looked at Lake Tomlinson like, what are you doing, man? Like, he expected Tomlinson to be somewhere where he wasn't. It's just bizarre. I don't quite understand it. I've never seen a team sort of fall off in a position that, you know, I don't know that it would have been a sort of strength of the team, but they could run block last year. I don't care, you know, what you say about anything. Like, they still struggled in pass protection in a lot of cases last season. But the fact that they haven't been able to get blocking done on either side in either phase has been really kind of bizarre. I don't understand it at all.
Don't they have like two offensive line coaches?
I don't know. I didn't even know they had one up until like 12 minutes ago. So,
isn't Forrester still around?
I think he's gone.
I thought he came back.
I think so, but I don't remember.
I don't think he has the title, but I believe he's some type of like offensive assistant or something.
Oh yeah, maybe. Maybe he knows where John is.
So maybe we should contact Forrester, who definitely appears to be Silver Alert eligible, say, and ask him where John Benton is. Who is John Benton? Yeah, I think it's like Fight Club 2. Anyway, most are good.
Yeah, most are good. Yeah, for sure.
And I think you're on point about that first sack. It may have been statistically given to Williams, but Williams was not happy with Tomlinson.
He was not.
And that was quite clear. So there was definitely some miscommunication involved. Yeah, it appeared that that was probably not his fault, or at least he thought it wasn't, because he thought he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. And, well, it didn't work.
Yep.
And the last comment about Mostert is it really would have been nice to have him in the game when McKinnon got stuffed up the middle on that 4th and 1.
On the 4th down, yep.
And I was like, hooray, Shaney finally figured out when to go for it on 4th down. Of course, he has no idea when to go for it on 4th down, but it's one of the simplest 4th down calls that you can make. Like, you don't really have any other options. Sort of have the feeling that you're on the verge of the game getting out of hand.
It was only 14. Wasn't it still 7-0 at that point?
Yes, there was second drive.
Yeah, it was only 7-0. It was the second drive, man.
Well, it sure felt that way to me, and it ended up being that way. You can consider that a throwaway line because it doesn't really matter. Even the dumbest coaches in the league know to go for it in that situation. You like think twice, and you should be relieved of your duties.
And then they get, yet it was the 49ers' second drive, and then they gave up the touchdown on the subsequent drive to make it 14-0. Yes.
Well, they gave up this touchdown on like every subsequent drive.
This is true.
That doesn't really help.
This is also true.
But either way, it doesn't matter.
No, I agree with you. Yeah.
I was like, all right, Shaney, thank you for doing the obvious. And then he brings in the smallest guy on the team and is like, hey, run up the middle. And Jeffrey Wilson is standing on the sideline.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't Trent Taylor. So at least it was that. Well, it
wouldn't have been too much worse. But that is the punishment that Mr. Wilson gets for the junior on his jersey.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Actually, looking back at that play, they actually blocked it well. There were just probably too many players in the box because of the way that the formation was running, and the Dolphins were able to outnumber them, as
it
were.
That's crazy. They'd have lots of guys in the box on 4th and 1.
Not great. So,
yeah, running up the middle with small guys is normally not a good idea.
Generally not. As I said in our 9 and 0's chat, I always like to call the fake fullback dive halfback flip on that particular scenario.
I like that in Madden as well. Back when I played Madden.
That's a Madden play. That's my favorite thing to do in the goal line, is to be like, ha, I'm going to give it to the fullback. Nope, I'm not.
Or
he's going to go run outside. Yeah, like, it's great.
But I pay him $5 million a year.
Consequently, the blocking for Juszczyk's touchdown was probably the best run blocking that they've done throughout any point in the season. That hole was a mile wide. It was good stuff. All right, so my up for the game was Fred Warner. I think that Warner has been like the best player on the defense pretty much from the beginning of the season. He's had to sort of overcome all the injuries around him and make up for, you know, missing Bosa and Dee Ford in front of him and missing Drake Greenlaw at times next to him and missing, you know, cornerbacks in behind him. He's been having to make up for a lot of missing pieces out there. But to me, he's shown why he's one of the best linebackers in the game and one of the best players in the game that people don't talk about. He's been really solid in coverage. I think, what did I say the other day? He's only allowing like a 48 passer rating when targeted or something like that this year. It's been really solid. And then, you know, continuing to play well as a run defender. And, you know, the unsung element of this is that he's been the leader of the defense from day one. You know, he walked in, you know, to this team a couple of years ago and they said, here's the green dot. You're the captain of the defense, which is kind of, says a lot about him as a person, but also as a player. It was definitely a rough day for the defense overall, but I think Warner continues to stand out among the rest. And so he's a player that I think we could have highlighted at any particular point throughout the season so far. But due to the the lack of quality play at various places throughout the team, I decided to go ahead with Warner to point out how stellar he's been playing this season.
Yep, he is good. And did I tell you when I ran into him literally? Last season?
I don't know. I don't believe that. I don't believe he did.
Week one at the team hotel, and I come around the corner. He was coming around the corner, and you know, it was a slight bump. If it was anything more, I would have gone flying.
I was going to say,
did but it like, just, I mean, I didn't know who it was at first. I was like, whoa, you know, and saw who it was. I'm like, you were a lot larger than I expected. And I actually said that out loud. It just came out loud.
Like, did he hear you?
Yeah, he's like, thanks. But he is massive in real life. He's huge.
I believe it.
And, and I've seen a lot of players, other linebackers, and they're just not that big. You know, they're often wide. You know, like Ahmad Brooks, he's a really big dude, but he's not like that. He just towered over me. And so, and I was like, I didn't know you were that tall and like just that big and strong. And I'm like,
yep,
thank God we have you on our team. And I don't want to fight you. So that was an accident. I probably should have apologized instead of saying that, but he's too nice of a guy.
Yeah, I think he definitely comes across as a nice fellow for sure. All right, well, now let's get into the real nitty gritty of this particular game, because we have to get into the downs.
Oh boy.
And I have a feeling this is going to be a situation where Chris is not going to be able to contain himself. So in order to do that, I am going to lead off with my down, because
then you could take a nap.
I think it's important for me to let Chris have the floor. And so I'm going to do that by getting my words in and then allowing him to have the time to do
too
that.
Kind,
so,
too kind.
I'd like to begin my down with a slight up.
You're pulling on me.
Hey, the 49ers stopped the quarterback from running.
Yeah, he just had the 117-yard run, right?
He did have one, and then he pretty much he didn't run for the rest of the game. But here's the problem. Instead, Ryan Fitzpatrick he figuratively torched the team in the passing game. He said, you know what? Why would I run the ball when I can throw the ball for a million yards?
I think Allen actually might have caught on fire.
This is possible. So, yes. So, Allen. So, Brian Allen.
Who?
Yes, exactly.
It's like witness protection program or what?
What was going on there?
Actually, maybe that's what the problem is.
Maybe. I don't know.
He's just some random guy and they're like, hey, you want to be an NFL football player for 1 week?
There's a lot of layers to this question of what was going on there. I'm sure some of them you're going to get into in more detail, but like what's going on there to start a practice squad player who had, I believe, started one game leading up to this matchup on Sunday.
Oh, I thought he'd never played a game in his NFL career.
I could be incorrect about that, but he's maybe played in one game, has basically spent time on practice squads and that kind of stuff. But was, you know, by and large, not really expected to be a top tier NFL player. And they were just like, hey, you over there, you should start, as opposed to, you know, the other options, which there are not many, but because of that,
no. More than I thought at the time,
maybe more now, but maybe not as many under the circumstances. I'll get into that in a minute. I hate to point this out, but he had a rough game, and by game I mean 3 drives, and that was enough. So he was targeted 6 times, allowed 5 catches for 124 yards, according to Chris's best friends at Pro Football Focus.
He won't talk to me anymore.
I'm sorry. This includes a 47-yard.
Still don't have Ayuk's playing.
This includes a 47-yard play to open the game. And the touchdown late in the half that really broke the back of the 49ers' chances of ever coming back in the game. that was kind of the point at which you're, because prior to that you're like, oh well, maybe, like maybe this game won't be as bad as you think it's gonna be. And then, you know, they scored on 3rd and 27 from, or whatever it was, 3rd and 22 from, oh, it was 3rd and goal from the 22. Sorry.
That does not happen.
No. Except for when your wide receiver literally runs past the the defender and kind of waves at him on the way by. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, passer rating when going after Brian Allen, 158.3. Chris, if I'm not mistaken, that is the highest that the passer rating can go. Is that?
Yes. If it could go higher, it would go higher.
That is for sure.
Or maybe they should make a new passer rating just for him.
Just for this one goes up to 175. It's like the amps and Spinal Tap. this one goes to 11. On top of everything else, we were talking about this earlier, I was watching some clips of some film from the game the other day or this morning, and the one time that he didn't allow a catch was only because the defender or the receiver, who I think it was Devontae Parker that we decided, didn't catch the ball. And the fact that Jaquaski Tartt was standing close enough to Parker to ensure that the pass was not made, Allen had literally nothing to do with making the stop. So...
He lined up sort of close to him.
He did, but then like Parker took one step and he was 5 yards behind him. And it was a slant pattern. Like what? I don't know what to tell you, but the cornerback also had 2 penalties called against him. A pass interference play that set up, I think, the first touchdown, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, actually, it set up his own touchdown.
Oh, did it? Cool.
Yeah.
Fun times. And then the horse collar penalty that came, I think, on the first drive, which was not a horse collar. We'll call it dubious at best.
When can you not tackle a guy by his back?
I don't know. I don't know. That was kind of when I knew that things were going to go.
Maybe it was probably actually too good. They thought he must have gotten horse collar.
it was too early in the game. We hadn't figured him out quite yet. So, so not a great day. Brian Allen.
No, we knew that after the first play. That was not the game.
Yeah, not a great day for Brian Allen. Some of this, a great deal of this, I will say, you're going to have to put this on the coaching staff for, as I said, for even starting in the first place. He clearly wasn't ready, and I don't know what they saw to think that he was. I'm willing to consider the fact that they didn't really have a choice. Apparently, Akella Witherspoon was sort of like iffy, and they kept him on the active roster as sort of an emergency kind of guy with the hamstring issue that he was having before. Ken Webster also apparently was hobbled with a hamstring injury of some kind. And I got to give kudos to Witherspoon for sucking it up and saying, hey, look, we need somebody else out there. I don't know exactly what he said, but I think it took too long, and that's not Allen's fault, but it was still a very rough day at the office for Brian Allen, for sure.
I sort of heard mixed reviews on that. I think it was Dante Whitner who was really calling out Witherspoon.
Yeah, he called him soft, which
S-O-F-T. I was like, I can count. I can count soft.
You can spell.
It's 4 letters. I can spell it too.
It is.
Hittner.
Yeah. Yeah. I took some issue with that. Apparently he also said something about how he's a bad teammate, blah, 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 blah. And I sort of recalled the moment in the playoffs last year when he had a really rough start to the game against the Vikings, where he got torched in a very similar manner, and then got benched with a pretty quick decision there by the coaching staff in that particular situation. And then, rather than, you know, sulking on the sideline, he said, you know, hey, Mosley is a special teamer, but if he's going to be out on the field as a cornerback, he can't be using that energy on special teams, so let me take his spot there. And I remember we talked about it at the time. We were like, oh, that's great. Like,
well, commending
him for that. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know which version of that is true, but he certainly stepped in on Sunday when he didn't need to. He could have just said, I'm hurt. He also could have just said, I'm hurt, I'm not going out there. Whatever, you know. But he didn't, so I give him credit for that, for sure.
If that is the way that it went down, then I totally agree with you. And I guess the one issue I have with that is, even if he was only break in case of emergency, like there was an emergency a long time before he went to the coaching staff and said, I'm good to play. And
right.
I don't know what took them so long. Are you done? Because I'll go.
I'm done. Yeah. Okay, Chris, you got the down.
My down. Well, first, obviously, I want Allen, right? So I have some Allen stats and plays and comments. Although Allen is not my down.
Okay.
The coaching staff is my down, and we'll hear about that as well. But I was taking forever to begin this podcast, as I often do. And by often, I mean every week. And I was looking through all of Allen's torch plays throughout the game. And he had a lot of them. And they were all based on basic mechanics and basic technique that he does not understand. And at times, it seemed like he did not know what type of defense the 49ers were in. Maybe that's a potential excuse. But even when he knew what the defense was and he was playing it the way he thought it was supposed to be played, that's not how you play it. And he was torched because of that. I mean, he was just absolutely horrible when the ball was in the air. On a number of the plays, including the first play, he had the receiver just blanketed. He was in front of the receiver, but Fitzmagic didn't care. Fitzmagic knows enough about the guy that he would just throw the ball up in his general direction. And I'm not sure. Was that a Parker? Or was that? I'm not sure who caught that first one.
That was the first. The one was Williams. It's like,
I don't even know who he is.
There's just to be honest.
So many that it's just
all the receivers.
Like they all look the same at one point when they're just catching everything they're throwing in their general direction. And yeah. Fitzmagic didn't really care who he was covering, so it didn't bother. When the Niners switched sides or just tried to switch it up a little bit, it didn't matter. He just threw it to whoever he was supposedly covering because the guy was not covered. I mean, Fitzmagic had a first down on every play if he wanted one. And he really did. Like, if he wanted a first down, he could have a first down on any play. And just imagine the power that you have as an OC or a quarterback if you know that if you get in trouble, auto first down. You know, just press the first down button. And it was really that simple. So
there's a first down.
Yes, the first down button, and it is named Brian.
Do we have
Allen.
One of those?
Well, no, we have them on our team. We won't allow another team.
I know, but do we have one of those that we can press on offense to score?
Yeah, we just need to have another team stupid enough to start him and then keep playing him.
Let's trade him to the Seahawks or something.
Please. Actually, that's a great idea. We'll say, we'll just tell Carroll or somehow get it in his ear. This Allen guy's really good. And then we'll cut him.
If we release somebody, the Seahawks are going to get him.
It's a rule. It's in the CBA. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. It is.
So, first play. 47-yarder. He was untouched, despite the fact that he's playing what appeared to be press coverage. And Allen was beat on only two plays. Actually, they only ran two plays against him. They ran fly or like a modified fly route one time when Fitzmagic was being pressured and had to cut off a little bit short. But it was still the same concept. And then twice they ran slants. And that's it. And his leverage was so far inside that any wide receiver could just go put one step to the inside and take it outside and be untouched. So throughout the game, how many receptions did he have? Five?
He gave up five, six targets.
I'm saying he was the one who did it, right?
Oh, he caught the pass.
And then I just handed it to the offensive player. Here you go, bro. It might as well have been that way. So he was targeted, I guess, an official seven times, but the one pass interference, and then so he's five for six with the one drop. Every one of those plays, and the majority of them were flies, or nine routes, modified nine routes. He did not touch the wide receiver at any time until the wide receiver touched the ball, except when he had his pass interference play. That's the only time. And he was in press coverage or some kind of a weird, like 2 yards off press coverage, which I don't think exists because he just doesn't know what he's doing. But he was just so worried about the slant route. And I don't know why, because they really helped him out a lot on the slant route. But for some reason, he just want. And I understand that you want the guy to go outside. You want the pass to go over your head, but not when you can't defend. Like, one-on-one ball is a one-on-zero ball when it's thrown in your direction. And yeah, so he had that 47 yarder untouched. He had that slant route that was dropped untouched. Fitzmagic had two no look fly route passes to him. He didn't look. He just threw it. I mean, he's looked.
He just knew that Brian Allen was there.
He knows what side of the field he's on. He knows that he knows where the safeties are. He knows that it's going to be a jump ball. And he looks the opposite direction. And then he starts his throwing motion and then throws it to the right. And then just throws it up for grabs. And every time it was completed. I mean, it was just absurd. And it only got worse. So he had the no look for 20, he had the nice no look pass for 28 untouched on fly pattern. The slant for 8, which was, I guess he stopped him short of the stick, sort of. Looked like he might have, maybe. I think he did, hopefully. Well, anyway, they punted, so they counted it at 8-yard reception as opposed to a 9-yard reception. So then on the following drive, he was again in press, and again, way too far inside, outside release, 19 yards. And that's when Fitzmagic got pressured, and he had to cut the fly a little bit short. So I'm not sure if it was technically a fly, but it looked like it was about to be. And it looked like it was about to be a huge one. So good thing we got a little bit of pressure on him. And then after that, we had another press, outside release, untouched, 22 yards until the pass interference call, which was... at the same time, turn your head around. And it's obvious that you don't know what you're doing when the ball is in the air. So they're obviously going to call that pass interference call on you, regardless of whether there's serious.
It's my least favorite pass interference call in the world. And I think it's a dumb rule.
Called so subjectively too, but whatever. He pretty much deserved it. But then, and I've been thinking about all of like the worst defensive plays I've seen in an NFL football game. And this might be the worst that I've ever seen. We have a 3rd and goal from the 22. Mm-hmm. Parker's...
That's good for the defense, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Usually, yeah. Because all you have to do is... Because they're going to kick a field goal and just stop him after a 10-yard reception. Like, it shouldn't be that hard.
Keep the man in front of you. Just prevent defense.
No. He kept the man in front of him, sort of, at first. But so... Parker's is the sees off the line of scrimmage, and it's again, you know, he's 5 or 6 yards off, and then he's coming up to press, but he never presses. He doesn't touch him. So he again allows the outside release. And another thing, you know, that I was mentioned to earlier is it's funny to look at, but as the game went on, the wide receivers from Miami would just move farther and farther and farther away from the sideline, knowing that Allen would do the same thing, just giving themselves more room to make the catch if it's a jump ball. Well, that was not needed on this play because he just stood there. The ball is snapped. For some reason, they went 3-by-1 and 3-by-1 to Parker's side. So they have two more potential receivers on that side, and they have the X receiver on the opposite side, and he was singled up with Brett. And for some reason, there's a free safety playing over there, and I don't know why. While we have, you know, two defenders defending against the two receivers on the left side, and one of them was probably a tight end, and we have another two defenders in the middle of the field for reasons unknown, and we have no safety. So not only was it him, not that the safety could have helped on that play in the first place, but the defense was all kinds of messed up. I mean, you want to play that the opposite way. I mean, if it's, you know, even if you do a split coverage, that's not the way that you defend against that. And it's not the way you defend against that when Allen is your cornerback, because it will end in one way, and it ended in the way that it did. So it was just so sad because it's like, I mean, he might as well, I don't know. If I were him, I probably would have just backed up into the end zone. Like, just do it. Just go all the way back there. And just like, okay, just don't throw the ball. Like, the ball's coming to me. I know it's going to be a jump ball. I'm going to watch this magic, and I'm going to knock this ball down. I'm going to do it. But he instead, like, plays his super soft, fake press defense. And as a release, he, like, sort of faked to the inside, and it totally threw Allen off, and he just blew right by. He like stood there, just blew right by him, And Fitzmagic just threw the easiest touchdown pass of his career on a 3rd and 22 in the corner of the end zone. And I mean, it was so bad that Parker, after the touchdown, was just shaking his head laughing. Like, shaking your head and laughing at the opposing defense. We can't be on the wrong side of that. Yeah, we should be doing that. I mean, we shouldn't even be doing that, but you know, nope. Parker's not the kindest individual in the world.
That's just,
yeah.
That's
just, but I mean, laughing at rude. Our laughing at us. We're supposed to have one of the best defenses in the league. We're being laughed at because we're not smart enough to take this guy off the field because he can't play cornerback. And I don't know if he's like, supposedly he's played cornerback before in college. Supposedly he played in high school. Supposedly he played in Pop Warner. It looked like he'd never played before in his life.
Tell us how you really feel, Chris.
It's just basics, right? Get a hand on the receiver. It's first day install. And where are the coaches? Why aren't we teaching the players how to play cornerback? And someone needed to tell him to go play that type of defense because it's not a kind of defense that a lot of teams really run. So someone's telling him to do that, but they're not telling him how to do it. And that doesn't make any sense. And also, he should be smart enough to know that even if they're telling you to play press, don't do it, especially if you're not going to touch the guy, because there's only one way that he can hurt you, and that's going to be deep down the sideline, and you're going to let him go down the sideline, so maybe you should be there. So I think that Jamar Taylor is like the luckiest person in the world.
Why you say that?
That the CIA decided to place Allen in the witness protection program as our cornerback this last week.
Because comparatively, he doesn't look as bad.
Because Jamar Taylor was similarly horrible.
Yeah.
But Allen was just like a sight to behold. And it was, I mean, there had to have been miscommunication on that play. There's no way that Salah's dumb enough to call that defense that way. And I don't know, it's just, let's just say it's frustrating. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. And I'll move
on. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Yeah, let's yeah, right there. By the way, I misspoke earlier. That was his first, Brian Allen's first start. He's played 17 or 16 other games over 2 years in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think he's like a special teamer, right?
Mostly, yeah.
I don't think he's ever played an offensive snap before.
A defensive snap?
Or a defensive snap.
That's correct. Yes, you are correct in that assessment.
He's also never played an offensive snap.
That's right? Also not that I'm aware of. I don't know the numbers on that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that he's an offensive player. Like, you know, we're playing like 10 on 12.
It's possible. He was an offensive player for the Dolphins on Sunday. Let's just say that.
So I was just, as I do, you know, sorting through some stats. Because that's what I do in my spare time.
Yes.
I'm a nerd. And I came across some fun ones. So,
all right, rapid fire. Let's do it.
Yeah. You want me to move on? Yeah, right. This is even my down.
I'm trying to
encourage you. But my down's going to be pretty quick, though, actually, because, well, actually, it's not going to be that quick, but it's me, so it's going to be quick for me.
Oh, boy.
For NFL players with at least 15 cover snaps this year, so that's taking away the Earl Mitchells of the world who are dropping into coverage for unknown reasons, you know, once or twice in the season, that kind of thing. You know, guys who are actually playing in there for a couple of series at a position where they're covering somebody. Allen gives up a reception every three plays. And he allows 8.3 reception yards per snap. Obviously, first in the league, because that is like an insane number. I mean, we're not talking about yards per attempt, we're not talking about yards per target, we're talking about yards per snap. He gives up 8.3. And we're not also not including the pass interference penalty. So number two is our buddy Jamar Taylor, who gives up 3.7 yards per snap. So that's second. So that's just showing you how far off 8.3 is. And then some other guys who are equally as bad and should not be playing football in the NFL are like at 3 and 3.5 and stuff like that. Richard Sherman. He allows a reception once every 51 plays. And by plays, I mean passing attempts. So snaps where the ball is thrown. And Sherman allows 0.18 yards per snap. So 8.3 yards per snap versus 0.18 yards per snap.
Those Sherman, are please vastly come back. Different numbers. Yeah.
Please come back.
Yeah. Sherm, get well soon, buddy.
Yeah. So what my actual down is in this game is the coaching staff, because they just mismanaged everything. And everybody who's a Niner fan just hates Allen. He thinks the worst guy in the world. And I don't think that's right, because Allen's just doing the best that he can, and the best that he can is not very good. And is that his fault? I don't know how much he works out. I don't know how much he practices. I don't know how much game film that he watches. But the coaches are the ones who put the players on the field, and the coaches are the ones who take the players off the field when they can't play football. And our coaches decided that he could play football for four drives when he was an auto first down. Whenever Fitzpatrick wanted a first down, press the Brian Allen button, getting a first down. If it were me, I was trying to decide when I would have taken him out. I mean, maybe not in the first drive, just because, okay, you know, it was a poor play, and you really did have good position on him, and you sort of knew where the play was going, and, you know, you just made a really bad play when the ball was in the air. But everybody does that all the time, or all the time, if you play for the Niners. So I think it'd be more the second drive, when it's just so obvious that this guy just cannot play in the NFL at this point in his life, or just that day, or just get him off the field, maybe into the locker room or something. Just get him far, far away from anything 49er related. Like, just take the jersey off, bro. Now, one thing that made me somewhat upset about the fact that they kept on there for so very long is that they had so many players that could have replaced him. And these are not like great choices, but these are all pro choices compared to what they had.
Go on.
Because these players will at least try. I mean, I was at a point where I would have put Fred Warner, let him play corner. Fred Warner would play corner better than that guy. I mean, he played overhang safety in college. He knows what he's doing. But they didn't need to go that far. They have Jimmy Ward, who can't play safety this year for some reason. Yet he has a lot of experience playing cornerback. Why wouldn't you put him in that position? Why wouldn't you put Webster in that position? He is a cornerback right now. That's all he does. Why wouldn't you put Tavarius Moore in that position? He's a former cornerback. Why wouldn't even you put my boy DFF, who played safety in college, in that position? Yeah. Why wouldn't you put Marcel Harris, maybe not there, but, you know, put him where Tar plays, let Tar play. I mean, just any, you have to fix this. You can't keep doing this. And so,
yeah,
of those players,
yeah, there were,
how many snaps did they get? DFF zero on defense. Webster zero. Tavarius Moore zero. Marcel Harris, too, in their own running place. Like, what are you doing, Salah? You have these players, you have athletes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them are actually cornerbacks. I mean, Webster probably wouldn't be my first choice, but you have to do something.
Wasn't he on that team like 2 weeks ago?
Webster? Yeah. I don't even know
I think he was on the Dolphins practice squad, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Well, yes, I mean, actually, he might know something about the Dolphins.
that's what I'm trying to get across.
Not that it really matters. I mean, do you know how to cover like a nine? Like, I mean, how hard is it?
Don't let the guy run past you.
Especially not on third goal from the 23 or the 22. So I was just, it was the first time in the Lynchahan era where I was concerned that our coaches are not good enough. And
are you sure that's the first time?
Yeah. 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 Because I've always been critical of Shanahan, because I think he can be great, even though he's not been great. He's pretty good for much of last year, but then, as you know, the final game, he wasn't so great.
Nope.
I think it happened. Nope. I don't know. I paid for it, so literally and figuratively. So just the way that he handed Garoppolo in the game, and it seems like he has a lot of influence over the personnel on the defensive side of the ball too, just from listening to his press conferences. So I think he's heard from a bunch of people that he has too many things going on. And maybe that's the case, because shouldn't Saleh be making those decisions as to who should be playing cornerbacks? Is this his defense? Like, you've already taken over the OC role. Like, what else do you need to do? Like, you know, you'd be like running the concession stand too, like during halftime. You know, it's like, I feel like he needs more assets. And by assets, I mean individuals who know things about football to do obvious things. Like when I'm sitting and watching a game with my mom and my wife, and both of them are yelling at the TV to take out a player, that should not be happening. And no disrespect to them, because they like football and they know when players are horrible. Yeah. But Saleh should know that before them, and Saleh should know it before me. Like, he knows these guys. He's seen them in practice. Like, this guy didn't just, you don't become that bad. Your mechanics and your technique cannot just become that bad. That is what you do, and it's nothing new. So I wish so badly that he was just a little bit better a couple years ago, so another team could have taken him off of our hands so badly. And he's just so close. Remember back to those days when he was
last year, man.
Back and forth. I mean, it was a little bit last year too, but you know, I think it was like 2 years ago where it was like 1 week he was going to be, you know, the next greatest head coach, and then next week he's going to get fired, and then it was just like back and forth. It's like Jimmy Gate, you know? So of course Jimmy Gate's back.
Well, yes.
But so Shanny in his was just in an absolute daze in his post game presser. Like, he did not want to be there, and he just was not there mentally. Can you believe him? He just,
after that.
Yeah. But you're a coach, so you could do something about that and not get crushed. You know, then you maybe not be quite the case. I mean, but he just said so many crazy things, like they're one dimensional in the passing game. Like they pass too much. And I'm like, you pass too much? Like, were you paying attention to the game? Cause you were calling the plays. So I'm like, did they pass too much? So, all right, first half, we're talking about all first downs, which is his problem. Well, second down and 10 is his problem too. So we're only going first downs, because that's when Shanahan decides if he's going to actually attack or if he's going to just hope that Mostert can do something, because he doesn't want a game plan. Anyone who's listened to Matt Maiocco's mini tirade on this, like, this is nothing compared to that. Have you heard that?
I have seen a little bit of it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Matt, you are an OG. Few people could have done that, and you are one of the few, and mad respect, because you've always been a little bit of a negative Nancy, but you told it straight and you were correct. And I agree with everything you said.
So, come anyway, be on our podcast with us.
Yeah, I wish. Nah, actually, he's a really nice guy. Sure. But not nice enough to come on our podcast.
You never know. Like, you never know.
All right, fine.
Anyway, do your thing.
I'll start pressing it. So our crazy pass heavy offense where we're one dimensional in the passing game. First down, run. Second first down, run. Third first down, sack because of Williams' miscommunication on the line, like immediate sack. Fourth play, supposed to be a run, or it looked like it was supposed to be a run, and Jimmy audibled out of it into a redirection pass to Debo for 15 yards, one of his only half-decent passes of the game. But he saw that there were a lot of plays in the box, and either he audibled out of the play or he pretended audible out of the play, but either way it worked very well. So next, sack on a horrendous play call where we have three receivers to the right side of the field, one of them being Juice, who's supposed to sneak out of the backfield, who's just being held the entire way when he's running out, and by the time he was able to free himself from the guy who was just holding onto his back, then Jimmy was sacked and there was no one else to throw the ball to. I mean, he couldn't throw the ball as far as these other guys running down the field. It's just a horrible, horrible play call. After that, run, incompletion under pressure, run, screen pass. So this offense that passes too much, they have 6 runs, 2 sacks on bad plays, 1 screen pass, and one actual pass that was an audible. Like, what is Shanahan thinking? Like, he called the plays. How can you not remember what plays you called within the last 3 hours? It's just frustrating because I don't know if he can be so good. I don't know if he is that guy. And, you know, people are calling for his head. You're out of your mind. Just like people calling for Jimmy's head. You're out of your mind. People are calling for Salah's head. You could probably talk me into it. But Shanahan needs to get better. And I've been saying it forever, but he's sort of reached this point in his coaching career where he has to get better. If he doesn't get better, he's going to be in trouble. And we don't have the easiest schedule coming up. So there's a lot more that I can say, but it's just going to be make me more depressed and angry. And I'm sure you don't want to hear it either. So, yeah. So just the coaching staff.
What?
Just coach. Coach better. Bring it. I mean, you know, coach your players well. Do better. Like, it's that simple. Or get a new job somewhere else, because we don't want you in San Francisco if you can't coach from the top to the bottom. And silver alert if you have to. I mean, come on. But I'm going to look into that. I'm going to look into the rules in California. I'm sending it out. Where are you, John Brunton?
Stop talking about this game. This is horrible.
Please. Jeez. I didn't want to. You told me you had to. So.
I know, but you did what you had to do.
Warrior here. So sad.
There you go. Okay. Just for the record, they did throw the ball 35 times and run it only 19. So that might have been what he was talking about. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. In the second half.
No, that was for the whole game.
Well, you're sort of forced to do that when you're in a negative game script. When you're throwing one pass with CJ Beathard, then you're throwing too many.
So on we go to next week's game, which is still, so far as I understand it, a Sunday night game against the Rams at home. Sunday night football. Bet they thought they were getting a game that was going to be better than this, but right now it's not looking so good. We'll see how it goes. So, Chris, is there any chance that the 49ers don't get destroyed on national television on Sunday night?
Originally, I was hoping that your question was, do they not get destroyed on national television because they're getting destroyed during the day? And I was thinking, hey, there's a chance, except it's past the 12-day rule.
Maybe, but that's not happening anymore.
If they will be destroyed, it will be on national television.
Yeah.
And it'll be in the evening.
This is correct.
Be in front of a crazy Levi State. No, it won't be.
Oh, yeah. Bummer.
Yeah, I canceled my flight. My hotel. It's supposed to be for my birthday. But
you got this.
Not that I ever want to go to a game at Levi's. We're not playing very well there, that's for sure. I think we need the fans there.
Not good so far. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's possible.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. And I don't think it's like totally out of the realm of possibility, because this season is a roller coaster, if nothing else, right?
Yeah, definitely.
We go into every game just thinking the opposite of what we were thinking the week before.
Yeah, I think that's true. 100%.
You know, a lot of it has to do with the injuries. A lot of it has to do with weird decisions. A lot of it has to do with really crazy quarterback play that just doesn't make any sense. You know, it's good, it's bad, it's good, it's bad, or it's CJ, so it's bad. So it would really be nice if we could have Mullins back as the backup, please. Shanahan, just let it go. CJ's just not good. Let Garoppolo play quarterback. Stop blaming stuff on his foot. If he's good enough to play during practice, then let him test it on the field. And as Matt Barrow said that you did do last week, pay attention to Garoppolo when he's warming up. See if his ankle is bothering him. See if he's capable of playing quarterback that day. These are the things the coaches do. This is what you have. Like, you should not be talking to Lynch about whatever you're talking to Lynch about, because you guys are besties, which is good. You know, he's not Balky, so that's good. I'm glad that you guys are close. But you know what? You're not going to continue to be close if you keep losing all these games and you keep coaching the way that you're coaching. So instead, like, do what's important. And what was important at that moment was not whatever you're talking to Lynch about, unless you're like trading someone before the game or something.
That didn't happen.
Yeah. Which, maybe we can get a cornerback or eight. Yeah. It should have been, you should have been on Jimmy. Like, you're a good quarterback guy. Like, you should be paying attention to Jimmy. And that's what leads me to believe that I don't know how hurt he really was. I mean, yeah, he said he was bothered by it, but at the same time, you're sticking him there in the middle of the pocket and you're just letting him get killed. And that's not the way that your offense is usually run. That's not the way that Jimmy plays well. Like, you got to get him moving. And if you can't move, then don't play him. But don't play CJ, because CJ is a loss. If Allen is auto first down, then CJ Beathard is auto loss. So, I think that we should have...
We have all the negative things.
There's positives in Mullins. He just had one bad game in his career. He had one bad game. That's it. And now he's done.
Yeah.
And now a guy that we know is bad is going to be potentially leading this team. Like, why?
I don't know.
There's no reason for that. We don't care that you made a mistake in drafting him at this point. We cared before.
Water under the bridge, man.
I mean, really, just let it go. Please, just let it go. Let it go. I'm not going to sing the song.
Literally, let it go.
But my nieces do.
That's good.
So, yes, there is a chance, because we were playing golf, and golf doesn't know which direction the sun rises. So, therefore, he is not smart enough to crush us no matter what. I think he did pretty well. Good in the Wonderlic, which makes absolutely no sense. I think they need to redo the Wonderlic if he did well in it, because how can you not know which direction the sun
rises? Maybe he just misspoke.
Just watch the Hard Knocks. He did not miss. They were making fun of him for a long, long time, and they were like, probably still make fun of him, and I still make fun of him because he breathes with his mouth open, and he sort of looks like Ryan Gosling. He's like ugly Ryan. Yeah. Ugly Ryan Gosling.
Oh, wow. That's what this is coming to. This is where we are, guys.
So let's play Ryan Gosling. If we play Ryan Gosling, then we would not get blown out.
Well, he'll get run off the field because he's not good. Anyway, sunshine, Ronnie Bass. we're really going for it. I don't know. I think there's certainly a case to be made that Jimmy was not where he needed to be, and that they might have brought him in, you know, a week too early. I think maybe he was fine, but he wasn't right where he needed to be. And so I think there's probably a case to be made that they could have let somebody else go. That I think the way that the Eagles game ended led to Shanahan basically losing any sense of faith in Mullins that he had, which then force them to sort of rush Garoppolo along maybe faster than they need to do.
Does that make sense to you?
It doesn't, but I'm just trying to think the way, like, logic my way through through it, and seem like, how did we get from everything's fine, Jimmy might be out for a month, but it'll be okay, to, oh, he missed two games and now he's back and it's a must-win game against the Dolphins in week 5. Like, I'm just trying to figure out how we got there.
I mean, like, I do get, like, okay, Mullins is a backup quarterback, and we know that. We were hoping that other teams didn't know that we could trade him, but now everybody knows that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm okay with taking him out in that situation. But Beathard did not play well enough to get the number two job. He just dunked the ball down the field until they got into the red zone, and then he CJ'd it like he always does, and then he didn't play very well. And I mean, Shanahan should know that. Like, the tape's right there. It's not very difficult to see. It's, but he has this affinity for him and just this love for CJ, and he's got to stop it. Stop it. Stop it, Shanahan. Bad Shanahan. Evil Shanny.
Oh, gracious. Evil Shanny's back.
So for this last week, I would have been okay if they had played Mullins.
Yeah, I think
I am not okay with them playing CJ, because you're just going to lose. Yeah. So I would rather play with Garoppolo.
Well, I mean, the game was lost by to be fair, the game was mostly lost by the time Beathard got in anyway. Yeah,
it didn't even matter with the way we were playing defense. It was
correct.
But then I don't want to see my team fall apart and just give
up. No, I agree.
And Shanahan gave up when he just gave up when he took Garoppolo out, and the team knew it, and the team started playing like it. I mean, they played horrible in the second half because they just knew that their coaches didn't They knew they weren't going to win the game.
They only scored 13 more points. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Talk about. Anyway, yeah, I think I'm generally with you. I think the worry is that the Rams are a better football team than the Dolphins, and after what just happened on Sunday, how can you go into this game thinking that it's going to get better?
You need to call better plays.
I mean, sure. Yeah. There are certainly things that could happen better. But from a purely sort of personnel point of view, there's not a lot of hope. Now, certainly, I think not having Brian Allen on the field and having, you know, Emmanuel Mosley in that position instead, maybe there's a lot of different things that happen on Sunday. Maybe we're not torched quite as bad if Mosley's out there. I'd like to think that. And so I'd like to think that this could get a little better.
Mosley will play better than Allen.
Well, yes.
Well, X player will play better than Allen played last week. And it doesn't matter who you pick.
Yeah. Well, maybe it does. I would play better than.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is I'm not blaming Allen. It's not his fault that he's not. I mean, it's sort of his fault, but
it's kind of his fault that he's not good. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's just. All right. So if they asked you if you want to go play cornerback for the 49ers this week, would you play? Seriously.
I don't know. Like in the Sunday Night Football game, I guess probably because the game check would be more than money that I make in a year. So yeah, probably.
I would be on the way to the airport right now and I would be flying over there right now. It would be an unbelievable dream for me. Could you imagine? Oh my goodness. And
that'd be cool for like 45 seconds until I got torched in there. Like,
well, that's how long it would last before they'd figure out that I'm not any good. If they came in for like almost the whole first half, that's on them. That's not on me. Like, that's the way that I'm thinking. Like, Allen's going to try as hard as he can, and it might not be good enough, and it isn't good enough.
Way too much Brian Allen content.
Yeah. Well, we're never going to speak his name ever again, I hope. Like Bioko said, he's not the one to blame. I mean, oh, it's hard not to, but Salah's the one to blame, and Shanny's the one to blame.
I mean, sort of. I mean, yeah. If he had been better, then it would have been fine. Yeah, for sure. No more of that. E-Man, we hope you're getting better. But you know what? Here's the best part, Chris. Man, even if it's a bad game, it's going to be beautiful to look at because we are seeing the return of the all-white throwbacks. So, hey. It'll be all right, man. Everything's gonna be fine.
Yeah, I do like those. I do like them when they pick a ball and then they strut in the end zone and take pictures. Can we do that?
It's beautiful. Like,
it's beautiful. Been a while, long, long time.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get a little swagger back. So, all right, prediction time, and then we'll wrap this up. I really hate this. We were super spoiled last year in that we got like the best 49ers season in like half a decade to be our first season of the podcast. And so we didn't have to say a lot of bad things. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, you predicted a victory for each and every game of the season last year, if I am not mistaken.
I probably did, and I was probably
you
right.
You were right a lot of the time, yeah.
All the time.
Except for those four times when we didn't, but that's okay. I think I only predicted one loss, and we...
Were you right about
I was right. It was the Baltimore game, yeah. But other than that, I was...
Oh, I was going to the game.
I know. But anyway, so I just don't think they're going to win this game on Sunday. I think... The Rams are a better football team under this current situation. I think Aaron Donald is going to be a problem for this offensive line that couldn't block anyone.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely is going to be a problem. poor Alex Smith is seeing Aaron Donald in his dreams right now because he got sacked several times by him on Sunday. Welcome back to the NFL, Alex. I mean, seriously, Aaron Donald, geez.
Be nice, Alex. Come on, man.
Yeah. I just don't, I'm concerned.
You're scared. Scared.
I am. I hate that I have to do this, but I think part of me is also quietly hoping, that I have some reverse jinx thing going on. but I am very concerned that this season is about to go off the rails. And so I think it may be a little bit closer than I initially thought. I've taken some points away from the Rams, but I'm going to say something like 27-14, Los Angeles. Chris, to you.
Los Angeles.
Yeah. I know, weird, huh?
Yeah. 27-14?
Yeah.
What did you choose originally?
I had 30-14.
Okay, so not 47.
No, I didn't. No, I shaved off 3 points.
Okay.
I just liked the two. Yeah, anyway, continue.
All right, so this game is supposed to be high scoring, which is a little surprising, I guess. 51 points. It's a lot. And they're not all supposed to be scored by them, which is also sort of weird.
Right.
I mean, are the Rams really just favored by 3 points?
3.5, I thought I saw at one point. Yeah, but.
Yeah, I thought before the pot, I checked and it was 3, and the math is easier when I use 3, so let me use 3, please.
Yeah.
Because I mean, this is actually like the easiest math ever, right?
Yeah.
51, 3 points, 27, 24, right?
Yeah.
Boom. Thank you, Mr. Stoneman, my fifth grade math teacher.
Good job. Although you should also keep in, I think you should also take into account that I think generally speaking, the home team is often granted, like in a even enough match, the home team is often given 3 points by default. Mm-hmm. So you could almost look at this like a 6-point favor if you think about it from one perspective, but that's just.
So I'll drop a little bit of very, very quick knowledge on you.
All right, very quickly.
Is it yes, that historically that has been the case. However, they have changed that recently over the last few years. And at one point at Levi's Stadium, the 49ers actually had a negative home field. I'm not kidding.
I believe you.
They
did
in Vegas. When they played at home, it was minor, like a point or something like that. Hmm. I mean, if my dad, rest in peace, was still around, he would say the same thing. He's like, well, it's 3 points, just 3 points, you know, because that's what he was always taught. So we go back and forth and back and forth, and I explain why it's not anymore, and we talk about metrics, and he wouldn't be taking it. And then we'd be arguing about whether Jim Brown was the best running back in the history of football, and then the differences in training and nutrition. And then he'd talk about how pitchers used to pitch both half of doubleheaders, and that's some of the stuff I definitely miss. Anyway, so I don't really give the 49ers any advantage at home right now. They've lost all of their home games and they've won all their away games. So, and they only win at that air conditioning unit. So we will play all of our games in New Jersey for the season. I've decided it. And
crap. And then injured 4 people seriously every week.
Actually, now I'm okay with starting Allen.
Do it.
In there.
Oh, that was actually mean.
That's too far. And I do not mean that at all. I don't.
All right. Well,
obviously, I don't.
On that note,
I'm defending the guy. Well, no, I'm not doing it.
Hurry.
No, so that's what Vegas says. I think Vegas wrong. Totally wrong. I'm making it 27-24 49ers.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, why not? We've been wrong every other time.
Why not? Yeah.
Let's.
And this is a good opportunity because one of us can be wrong and one of us can be right, and the other one can gloat about how they were right. So,
yeah. I'll probably like find a way to gloat either way.
I think you will. I think that's for sure.
Even when we get blown out. I was like, I told you, remember last podcast?
All right. Well, there we go. On that note, thanks.
There we go, baby.
thanks as always for listening to this episode of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. As always, check us out on ninernoise.com for all your latest 49ers news and analysis. And be sure to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And of course, share it with all your fellow 49er fan friends. So until next time, let's sound the horn, 49ers.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced. From the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support, The new Superbeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with two tasty chews a day. Plus, Superbeats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to radiobeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's radiobeats.com, code DEAL.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.